Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop, and it's brought to you by Quick Assist, your no-hassle solution reselling your tickets across every marketplace. Download Quick Assist from your app store today. That's Q-U-I-C-K-A-S-Y-S-T. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. All right, we mentioned Monday Night Football, and during the course of Monday Night Football, something that I'm sure you were very excited about, because I know what your fantasy team looks like, at least when it comes to the wide receiver position. Malik Nabers got out there over 100 yards again.
Yeah.
And the only thing that he couldn't do was get them a touchdown in the course of that game because they were just out here kicking a whole bunch of field goals, five to be exact. But he left during that game, and maybe that was the reason why they weren't able to get a touchdown due to a concussion.
Shake it off, Malik. Let's go. Shake it off.
We had a whole conversation yesterday about the head injuries and what that could do. Brett Favre has Parkinson's, Tommy Kramer has dementia.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, and you're like, hey, yeah, just get back out there.
I didn't see a concussion.
Give me them points.
I think he's all right. I think he's going to be all right.
That is crazy.
These players soft.
Yeah. Suck it up. No, I'm
do you even have money on your league? What is happening?
I'm kidding, kind of.
Wow.
But no, 17 and a half points. Last night was wild in a number of ways. We talked about the game and how it pertains to the Texans, etc. But this was a really interesting game. I mean, first of all, Cowboys went ugly. They're ripping the Cowboys up in Dallas. We were just talking about that during the break.
That's correct.
Al Michaels is a gambling derelict,
as he always has been.
And it's on the table that the game was fixed. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
That's insane.
It's not off the table. I'll put it that way.
You wildin'.
It's definitely on the craps table.
It's right there.
But after this game, right, we mentioned that Malik Nabers, leaves this game with a concussion. In the post-game availability, or not even the post-game availability, at his locker, Brian Burns was talking to the media, and in the course of being asked a question, he kind of gestures across the locker room and says to Malik Nabers, "Are you straight? Malik, you straight?" And apparently Malik shook his head no.
Yeah.
To where Brian Burns was like, "Nah, you'll be all right."
I like Brian Burns.
You'll be all right. All right.
I like Brian Burns. I like where his head's at.
So I don't know if they were like joking back and forth or not, but that was the thing that happened. Ultimately, Malik Nabers then got on Twitter and, put a picture of himself up and said that he's straight. Actually, it was his Instagram story, my bad, where he ultimately said, "All good. Thanks for all the prayers." I don't know how I take that. Him actually saying no. Like, look, guys joke around in the locker room. But that made me a little uneasy. I was like, hey, man, is he not good? Because that's concerning
for
young man.
Like, health-wise?
Yeah.
Or just, man, I'm on this sorry-ass team, man.
Okay.
That's how I kind of took it.
I see you decoding
it. I'm not good, man.
I took it as health-wise, but that's not a bad point.
He never did like the quarterback, man. No, from the time he got drafted.
Well,
quarterback got to like him, though.
Quarterback has to like him. Daniel Jones has not thrown a touchdown in front of Giants fans at home in 635 days.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good.
Man.
That's kind of impressive a little bit, man.
It's like you got to try to stay
that long. I mean, you the starting quarterback that long and haven't thrown a touchdown?
At home. In 635 days.
Yikes.
I really feel like Malik Nabers is going to be the guy that gets Daniel Jones pushed out, which I know is impossible with the contract and all that, but you got a receiver like that, and on a serious note, he's probably not going to play next week just because of protocol and such, but I think he's going to be all right, Malik Nabers. But when you have a player like that, Reggie, you do it works both ways. You do everything you can possibly do to surround a quarterback with talent. Texans are trying to do that here.
Correct.
Right? You have a player that is truly maybe one of five, one of three. Ultimately, he could become that. You got to find him a quarterback.
It works both ways.
I hear you on that. I think that, yeah, Malik Nabers will be a factor in that. I think that we were already headed down that path there for the Giants. When it comes to the quarterback, I think they realized the error of their ways. And if you didn't realize it, I imagine fans sticking around to try and accost that man in a parking lot might have given you a little indication that maybe, just maybe, this ain't quite going the way it's supposed to. How about this when it comes to the San Francisco 49ers not going the way it's supposed to? Christian McCaffrey, the running back, was not put on IR with hope, and that gave a lot of people hope that maybe he could be returning to this football team soon, even though he, you know, kind of had his injury, right? They actually did end up putting him on injury reserve. I did forget about it, because at first they said they wouldn't.
Yeah.
Ultimately, they did. So he was out for at least four games. However, it's starting to look like it might be even longer. As Adam Schefter reported, that McCaffrey is traveling to Germany.
He went.
Over this weekend, to go visit a specialist regarding his Achilles tendonitis. Does that sound like a running back who will be returning? Like, now, to be fair, right? We were mentioning Kobe earlier. Kobe used to go to Germany, and I know that Dirk did something similar. They'll go out there, get treatment, and usually it's a treatment that's more advanced than what we have here, you know, due to different regulations and those types of things. Maybe that gets him back up to speed. But with a dude that is injury prone as Christian McCaffrey going to get some level of different level of treatment outside of the U.S., that can't bode well for them, can it?
2 months is the latest that they're saying he's going to be out. And 2 months means they got to make other plans, because I think that's going to probably be the season, right?
I mean, that's what it feels like. I mean, Jordan Mason's been good, but this is starting to feel like it might be the crumbling for the Niners. We've seen how when they do not have their high-end talent, it does not look good. It has not looked good in the last few weeks. And also, this team has felt like it was built around Christian McCaffrey when they went and acquired him.
Yeah.
His addition to this team really elevated what they're doing. I do wonder if we're maybe seeing the closing of that Niners championship
window. I think I'm with you. You know, they've already struggled a little bit. But there's also there's some disarray within the team. I mean, you can go back into the offseason, Ayuk, and go down the list. I think this is sort of like, you've got to get it done now. Who was it? One of the players said it's now or never. I think it might have been Ayuk said it's now or never to win. Well, it's looking more like now's not going to happen.
Yeah. So Christian McCaffrey out in Germany going to get like special things done. The head coach, Kyle Shanahan, said that there was no update on Wednesday when it came to McCaffrey. Said he hadn't talked to him. And so when reporters asked and tried to find out if he would play for the rest of the season or if he won't play for the rest of the season, Shanahan said, not that I know of, which is not a flat-out denial.
Yeah, well, it's not. But even if
it's also Kyle Shanahan, too.
Yeah.
He give us a lot of fools.
When you say I haven't talked to him, you may be telling the truth. You haven't talked to him. But you sure know what's going on.
You know what's going on.
You sure know.
You was not sitting there clueless.
You sure know what's going on, and it ain't great. It ain't great for McCaffrey or the Niners.
Now, when it comes to the Niners, George Kittle is returning in that situation, so at least they have that particular target. So we'll watch that space, because I'm super intrigued as to what's happening there. It's another one of those teams that we thought would be kind of at the top of the league, not necessarily there. How about this? Another team that possibly could be a top of the league and matters when it comes to your Texans, because it's the AFC. The Baltimore Ravens and their tight end, Mark Andrews, he's preaching patience right now. He said, quote, my time will come when it regards his 76, he's first time in 76 games in week three where he did not record a catch. Does it feel like the Mark Andrews time is waning? And I kind of want to take that to the larger perspective, is it feels like we're turning over the tight end thing. It felt like
exactly what I was going to say.
At the top of the tight ends in the league, there was some guys that were just kind of stable. Yesterday we talked about Travis Kelce. Today we're talking about Mark Andrews. I do wonder if we're starting to see a new era of the tight ends that are at the top of the league.
Or is it because of the way defenses are... You know, defense have had the upper hand against most offenses this year, by and large. But Travis Kelce, Kittle, obviously, you know, who knows? You know, Sam Laporta's been all right, but like the tight end position in general is sort of waning all of a sudden. And that was one of the biggest weapons that we've had, was the tight end position in recent years. So it's kind of interesting to it's definitely something we need to follow because it's been the tight ends are not what they used to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, the guys that are still, you know, making some things shake, Dallas Goedert of the Eagles. I know that Brock Bowers is up there. Yeah. And look, Isaiah Likely on his same team, Mark mm-hmm. Andrews, although he plays a little bit more like a wide receiver, and maybe that's what we're looking at. Mm-hmm. I mentioned Sam Laporta. You did. Kyle Pitts starting to get a little bit better a look with mm-hmm. with actually having a quarterback and an offense that wants to get in the football. I think that we might just be transitioning to a new era. Like, there was a time of, like, maybe 5 years where you knew who the guys were at the top. I think we're rotating that out as guys are getting older as
maybe.
Well.
Maybe. That's quite possible. Mark Andrews, but he's really, I didn't even think he was, like, fading. And I mean, him fading is not as understandable as, like, a Kelsey, you know, obviously. So who knows? Who knows? But the tight end position certainly in flux right now.
All right. I kind of want to get to this. Why do you think that the NFL was had the game fixed?
Oh, the fix was in.
I don't think so. I think you're doing a lot right now. In the Thursday night football game.
You're doing a lot. That sounds like something my daughter tells me.
You're doing the most.
You're doing a lot, Dad. You're doing a lot. So Vegas is about to build another hotel. Did you know that, Figgy?
Oh, word.
Yeah.
I ain't know that.
Based on last night's game.
All right.
Based on last night's
game. Yeah, you heard Al Michaels during the course of the game. They line up for a field goal. The Cowboys do to try and push it to 8. Mm-hmm. Brandon Aubrey, who had hit a 60-plus yarder in the course of this game, and he has been like probably the best leg in the league, maybe outside of Kyemi Fairbairn.
Mm-hmm.
He did this.
So as it looks right now, I think a lot of people are very happy that there'll be a field goal attempt here, and others not so happy. And you do know what I mean. This will be a 51-yard attempt.
Automatic.
Oh, of all things, no good.
Oh, really?
It's his first ever miss from 50-plus. So the patient is breathing, just barely, though.
All right, so the vast, I looked it up, majority of money, and this is no surprise, was bet on the Dallas Cowboys last night.
Yeah, and there was a lot. Some people had the number of -5.5. At that point, it was a 5-point game. In fact, it ended as a 5-point game. That would have allowed them to cover in that instance mm-hmm. if he had made that field goal.
And now, Brandon Aubrey, Mr. Automatic, first ever miss over 50 yards.
You know damn well you saw that ball knuckle.
It was a push. He pushed it.
He did not push it.
He pushed it. See, you're saying it started out middle. They've been showing it on the TV in front of us. It really didn't even start out middle.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying he had it dead center. Like, it did seem like it was going a little bit off to the right, but that's mm-hmm. when it comes to field goals, as long as you get it between the uprights, right?
Figgy, that was a push.
Yeah.
Y'all wild.
It just seemed like everybody in that moment knew what it was, and we like, you know what? We just going to kick this
Dak
to the
was
side,
laughing
man.
About it on the sideline.
Yeah. And look, and mind you,
you think the conspiracy goes so deep that they told all the players that
No, I think he was
going?
Laughing about the no, fact that boy, think, that field goal was big.
I don't think everybody on the sideline said, "Hey, this is what we're going to do." But yeah. Like it's hard to convince me that nobody knew that line that 5.5 or 5 or whatever.
No, people definitely knew the line.
Yeah, I think everybody on that sideline knew what that was. And mind you, him missing that field goal, it was still a game. I know it's the Giants.
Yeah, but it was the Giants.
Because if it was like Patrick Mahomes or somebody like that, he would have made that field goal.
And I'm not casting aspersions on Brandon Aubrey. Which means I'm about to cast aspersions on Brandon Aubrey.
I can't believe y'all right now. I cannot believe y'all right now.
Dude makes $900,000.
Sure. Oh, so you think he was on a take?
I didn't say that.
So you telling me that Vegas orchestrated the whole game? Now you talk about game script. Like, they orchestrated the whole game to come down to this one field goal.
I didn't say that. I don't remember saying that.
Y'all
but
wildin'.
Dude, it was a
it was like a damn TV show.
It was
like the way Al Michaels just laid
well, he's
it up.
A degenerate anyway.
He was just he was just you would have thought this was acted out.
Dude, multi-million-dollar miss for Las Vegas. Multi-million-dollar miss for Vegas.
Sure, but I mean the house always
That's
wins
wild.
Anyway.
Well, I wonder why.
That's crazy. You got Jerry Tarkanian in here somewhere dealing with this. I can't believe that y'all think that they just clearly knuckled. Like, you watch it. You can see the ball.
You've said that a couple times. These guys, Like, it's not like you or me trying to kick a ball and we're like, let's see what happens here.
Y'all spoiled the NFL fans. Y'all like, kickers are supposed to knock down every 50-yard field goal.
But they
remember when we saw a 50-yard field goal and we're like, what are you doing even trying?
But did you hear Frank Ross yesterday talking about the kicks and how precise he was about it was end over end, it wasn't, you know, sideways a little bit and all that? These kickers know exactly where to put I think he called it toey. I think he called some of Fairbairn's miss from 55. I think he called it toey. It was a little toey, which I thought was an interesting term. But what I'm saying is kickers know exactly how to put their foot on a football to make it end over end, to make it toey or whatever. Brandon Aubrey's was not an end over end. It was a push to the right.
All right. John Lopez thinks the kickers are supposed to make every single one. All right, got you.
I guarantee you somebody on that sideline like, bro, you better miss this, bro. Hey, the line is this. You better miss. You better not make this field goal, man. Yeah.
Hey, man, when it comes to the NFL, that person will be sitting at home for a year if they're not careful.
And it wasn't even that serious because they was playing the Giants.
Yeah, it was in the bag.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you say so. All right, that's around the NFL here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610, where the people I'm working with are conspiracy theorists.
Well, that's true.
It's still Football Friday, nonetheless, even though whatever they're doing, I don't want to consider that football. Coming up next, let's get more into the Jaguars game. What are the matchups you're watching for as the Texans welcome in the Jaguars on Sunday? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, we got some news, ladies and gentlemen, here on a Football Friday in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. The Texans practicing inside an NRG Stadium. Roof is closed as it will be, or likely will be, on Sunday. I say that like a fact, but I have a strong indication.
It better be.
Yeah, it better be.
I'm fine with it being open at night, but nah, it better be closed.
Yeah, and that's coming from us that are likely either going to be in the press box or, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. For the fine folks, we got to make sure that it feels good in the stadium. It might also feel good on the field as, you know, practice is happening. So we're getting a little bit of news as who's practicing. How about this? Nico Collins, who popped up on the injury report from practice yesterday with the hamstring, he was limited. He is back at practice. So when it comes to the worries about, hey, is Nico going to play? It's starting to feel like, hey, okay, he will play. That he was just dealing with the things that sometimes football players deal with. And he'll be out there. And maybe more importantly, Joe Mixon's back at practice.
Man, and I'm looking at it right now, moving around pretty good. Both of these were, flat out surprises. When a guy goes down, practices on a Wednesday and then goes down and is not practicing Thursday, I said it in the first segment, that's not a good sign. I mean, something happened Wednesday. So for Nico, excellent news. Excellent news. And boy, does that change everything. How the wide receiver room looks. Mixon, even better news. And he's moving around okay. So maybe it was just precautionary, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, obviously he missed a game, but precautionary in terms of this week and getting ready.
Yeah. That really makes us feel good. And I think that's going to illuminate some things as we talk about the matchups that you're looking forward to when it comes to Texans, Jaguars. Now, one of the things I also want to mention injury-wise is not with the Texans, but it's related to this game, which is Evan Engram, the tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He has already been ruled out for this game. He's missed the last couple of games. But getting to Jacksonville has been a resurgence for him.
Yeah, he's been good.
They found a way to utilize him, and he might be, unless I'm forgetting someone, he might be their best passing target.
Mm-hmm.
And so he feels like he's the focal point of what they want to do offensively, passing-wise. And so that, I think, also presents some interesting things. So with all of that being the case, where for you, Lopez, are you looking at kind of matchup-wise in this game that, honestly, I don't want to be too optimistic because then you set yourself up for the bad feelings if it does not go the right way. But it feels like the Texans have good advantage here.
Yeah, they do have a good advantage. And I think offensively, is where all of us have been focused and will continue to be so, clearly with the offensive line and such. But I'm looking at Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter.
Okay.
I'm looking at those guys. Trevor Lawrence is a mess. And their wide receivers are not exactly... Well, they haven't done much. I mean, they haven't done much at all year long. Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter, and with no Evan Engram, the wide receivers for Jacksonville are going to have to be, big-time targets. I want to see Derek Stingley and Lassiter continue to do what they've done, maybe even at a higher level. Get a pick, get a turnover, shut the guy down. And I think if your cornerbacks are doing that, we've talked about it. You know, those are two guys that are game changers. You know, they especially Derek Stingley, but they are game changers. Change the game. I think you can get in Trevor Lawrence's head early if you can make a big play at the cornerback position. I'm looking at those two guys. I fully expect that matchup to be kind of a game decider if they can have some success.
Yeah, I think the defensive secondary for the Texans absolutely have mm-hmm. an interesting matchup here because the Jaguars are, like, I think they have the second deepest route depth in the league. Early on through the season, like, they're going to try and throw the ball downfield. Our guy Ocho on the text line loves him some Brian Thomas, his opportunity to possibly see him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they have, you know, some speed out there when it comes to their wide receiving core as well. I mean, Christian Kirk is over there. Gabe Davis came over through Buffalo. Not guys that I view as necessarily world beaters, but they do have guys that have an opportunity to challenge you in some ways, and they want to challenge you throwing the football. I don't think that they're going to be particularly great at it, but I think that that is going to pose a challenge, especially after week one, and you saw the ability to be, you know, have some things go over the top, even during the course of the Bears games. I think that if we really looked at the tape, there were some instances where there, you know, secondary players might have been beaten in mm-hmm. some ways that they the Bears and Caleb Williams weren't able to capitalize on. So I'm interested to see how they this is another data point, or will be another data point, in how this secondary handles the possibility of big plays. I think that you're right in that regard. I think that that's going to be a place that I want to watch.
Well, let's look at those three guys. Brian Thomas in three games has 11 catches. You know, they're not getting it done. They're not lighting people no. up. Christian Kirk, really disappointing season so far. In three games, he has 10 catches. And then Gabe Davis, you know, the big acquisition, who I like. I like him. I think he can stretch the field real well. But he has 16 targets and only 8 catches. He's batting 500.
This is not a good football game.
He's batting 500. So those three guys, not a single one of them has averaged more, you know, than three and change, you know, in a game in terms of catches. That's why I'm looking at Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter. You know, have some success against those guys, and then I think the game changes.
Get back to turnover defense. Yeah. Is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Okay. Another one. It's going to be the place that a lot of us are looking all. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe all season long at this rate. Offensive line versus this Jaguars defensive line. I think that the Jaguars defensive line can be relatively stout. Like, they've got some talented players up there when it comes to, like, especially run defense. Like, they're decent at that. They're not mm-hmm. bad. They're bad. They're bad defensively when it comes to covering the pass. And we'll get there as well, right? I think that poses an opportunity. I want to see this offensive line. I want to see them start imposing their will in various ways. Like, hopefully. And we'll talk more about Bobby Slowick and what he's looking at for this offensive line, for this offense in general. But it seems like it's put up or shut up time for a lot of people in that building. Obviously, with the idea of, you know, execution and making sure that you're not getting penalties, but also execution and making sure that you're effectively running the plays and mm-hmm. giving people the best chance to succeed. You can't have guys unblocked. You can't have those things. I know Joe Mixon is back, and he's going to go a long way in making the most out of what is there. But what is there and what's blocked up for him needs to be significantly better.
And here's the biggest part when it comes to the offensive line. There are no more excuses. Joe Mixon is going to play. Yeah, Cam Akers, who has had a lot of success, probably more success in this blocking scheme than anyone not named Joe Mixon, is going to play. And so the whole idea of, well, is it the line? Is it the running backs? Well, you got Mixon and Akers, and they're going to play. And I would tell people to stay tuned for noon, because I think we heard some things yesterday from Bobby Slowick that are going to be very reflective of this offensive line. But there are no more excuses right now. Not only have they not put it all together consistently, but they got probably their best two backs are going to play on Sunday against a defense that you can probably have some success on. So no more excuses. There are none this week for the offensive line.
That being the case, I want to see this wide receiving core. Yeah. And just this pass catching, this passing offense against this Jaguars defense, I think this is a possibility for a fireworks show.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to, like, defensively, I think they they don't get a lot of pressure. They're 30th in pressure. They don't blitz that much either, 21st when it comes to that. And they allow the fifth most yards per play passing the football, third highest opponent EPA. So, like, usually teams are very efficient mm-hmm. throwing the football against them. I want to see that happen, right? And we were robbed of that in some ways. They had explosive plays in the course of last game that were negated and things. I think this is an opportunity to tee off. I want to see Nico get his. I want to see Stephon Diggs get his. I know that we're in a place where Tank is likely not playing. Whoever else, steps on the hood. Let Dalton Schultz get his as well. Joe Mixon in the past. I think this is an opportunity that we can have and see this offense eat.
Yeah, and that's the second part of this story is we've seen C.J. Stroud look spectacular and then look very, I guess, limited, you know, in terms of being able to make those big plays. This is a game where the wide receivers, you are going to have Nico. You are going to have Stephon Diggs. Probably not Tank. But then you've got these other two guys, you know, whether it's Xavier Hutchinson, three guys, or Robert Woods or John Metchie. This is the game where they should probably eat. And you mentioned Dalton Schultz. It's about time, isn't it? As much as the tight ends have had, at the top of the board, the big names have kind of struggled. Dalton Schultz has 7 catches in 3 games, and we really expected more out of him because in the preseason, when teams were really sort of, you know, protecting the top, we talk about that too high safety look. Dalton Schultz was having a lot of success. We haven't seen that yet either. We haven't seen Dalton Schultz really get going underneath.
I appreciate this on the YouTube. Seeing Mixon in practice changed the feel of this broadcast, didn't it? Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. Because, I mean, look, I think we understand, throw out whatever I was going to say. Let me go back to this. I still remember the feeling that I had when you got Joe Mixon on the field in training camp for the first time. And it was just like, oh, everything changed. It was like clouds parted and the sun came out just because he was his ability to tote the rock, his ability to get involved in the pass catching game. And y'all remember the feeling that y'all had in week one.
In a much better mood right now, huh?
I'm super excited to see that. Who I'm also excited for. Apparently, we got someone on the phones.
Mm-hmm.
Larry, what's happening, my man?
You already know what time it is, Reggie. What's up, J-Lo?
Hey,
you
man.
Good, man?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man. Look here, it's Friday, man, so y'all know I get ramped up, man, because I eat fish on Friday, I drink hen on Friday, I do some stuff for the old lady on Saturday, and then Sunday is football time, man. And let me say this, man, there's no reason, and you've already said it too, Lopez, it ain't no excuses for these boys. This is going to be an indictment that we're going to go out there and really determine whether or not we're going to be serious about making this run, man, because I'm going to tell you something. The Jags' ass need to be put in the ground with extra dirt thrown on their ass come Sunday. Because we got, as we look at this game, man, we should be in a position that we're getting our running backs back. We got enough wide receivers to, you know, take a moment that we don't have Tank or whatever. We got replacement parts, man, that we can go out here on Sunday and give everybody a good show. But Bobby Slowick has been on my mind all week, man, because I am sick and tired of looking at him run an offense that looked like it's still something that we watched the Cowboys run back in the 90s with all that talent they had. It is time for Bobby Slowick to cut CJ ass loose in 2024 and start letting these boys eat, man. We got enough talent that we ought to be putting 40 on folks, man. And Bobby has to understand that he don't have to huddle every damn time. He can change his damn tempo. And he better have got under Laramie Tulsa big ass and got him lit up for this week, too. Because I'm telling you, the first time his ass false start over there on Kirby on Sunday, I might have to run on the field, man, and go and check his ass because we can't be having that with a $30 million left tackle. Reggie, you're going to have to understand, man, I have been in this city my entire life, and I ain't never seen the Oilers win a Super Bowl, and I ain't seen my Texans get to the Super Bowl or AFC Championship game. And I watched a whole bunch of my homies expire from this earth, not getting a chance to have that celebration. And I'd be damned if your boy gonna go out like that. I took my ass to Minnesota thinking that my squad was gonna come back 3-0, but we should be 3-1 after this week and getting ready to ramp up for them Bills. And I'm not looking past them Bills. I'm just looking to get my ass out there to tailgate so I can get full of the tick on that hen in our hollow.
Yes, sir, that's Larry and Stafford. Larry, don't get on that field. I don't want you to spend the rest of the weekend in the bin.
I wonder if Laramie Tunsil will jump off sides early. Is the crowd going to boo?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Is it going to boo a little bit? Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, it is. He is feeling it, and he better produce.
I mean, it's one thing to do it on the road, but if you at home doing this.
No, it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, when you did it to the point where it was a main talking point.
You might get some cheers doing it on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At home,
yeah. Shout out to the 832 Fig. They said, okay, now we can go whoop that ass. Yeah, all right, appreciate you, Larry.
Yeah, now we're
getting
ready.
People going. It's In the Loop. Sports Radio 610 on a football Friday. We getting ready. We getting ready for that home game on Sunday against the Jags. All right, coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including this familiar face, hanging up his cleats. We'll talk about that and more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into What's Poppin' here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. You got my guy Lopez. You got Figgy Fig. You got myself, Reginald Atatula, hanging out with you. You had Larry and Stafford a second ago.
He needs a cough button. We got to work on that.
Yeah, no, I think that was very intentional, right? He said he was sick of it, and then it was just a real well-timed cough. Mm-hmm. So I thought that that was a nice, just nice little garnish on what was a fantastic call. Appreciate you, my man. Some important news of what's popping is actually something that is very recent. We found out not more than 30 minutes ago. That at practice and actually practicing today on the field at NRG Stadium inside, Nico Collins, after he popped up on the injury designation yesterday with a hamstring, he is practicing today. Joe Mixon, after missing practice, you know, the previous 2 days this week and then all of last week, really, he is indeed back at practice. And so that is really good when it comes to like having your offensive pieces that make this thing go. Like Nico Collins has been your best wide receiver when it comes to yards and receptions and all those things. And Joe Mixon, I mean, the performance that he gave in week one was so notable, and you know what he is capable of doing, so that's important. Now, one of the, I guess,
what's popping is the mood.
Yeah,
the mood around here in these parts.
For sure. And are you talking about in this room? Is that what you're talking about?
And around Texans.
Okay,
around
excellent. The Texans. Perfect. But also, a thing to notice, right, within this, still no Tank Dell, still no Damian Pierce, but Jimmy Ward also not playing or not practicing. So that would probably lend to the idea that maybe Jimmy Ward is not going to play on Sunday.
Yeah.
What does the safety room look like? Because, and I had to go and double check the game book from this past week in Minnesota. And I maybe it's a good thing about Kalen Bullock that for some reason I was thinking about Eric Murray, and that's because he got lined up a couple of times and had to try and stick on Stephon Diggs for 6 seconds, which is not something that's going to happen. But Kalen Bullock played 81% of the snaps 84% of the snaps defensively. He is still going to be getting a lot of snaps. Eric Murray played about 33% of the snaps. I imagine that goes up if Jimmy Ward isn't there. Mm-hmm. Does MJ Stewart get involved there at all? Like, what are we looking at safety wise? If Jimmy Ward
didn't
is
you
not
say
on the
Jimmy
field?
Played all the snaps?
Only defensive player to play 100% of the snaps this past game,
and likely out. So yeah, I think MJ Stewart definitely is going to be part of the mix. Safeties, you know, look, the mood has elevated significantly, as one of our listeners noted, even just from us when we got the news. There are still those questions, and forget the offensive line, not even talking about that right now, you know, at the safety position. And as much as those Jacksonville receivers have not exactly been killing it, it's still a matchup up the middle with that kind of speed, because you can say what you want. I mean, Christian Kirk is really fast.
Yes, he is. That's why he got paid. He came fast. Yeah, 100%.
Gabe Davis is really fast. And they're going to line it up to try to exploit the safeties, especially with Jimmy Ward out.
Right, and I think that then you ask yourself, there's been great pressure gotten by this defensive line, but we want to see them finish. Mm-hmm. Now, Trevor Lawrence is probably the most sacked quarterback thus far, right? He has a high sack rate, but you want to make sure that you're finishing, because if you're not, then you're giving the quarterback an opportunity to maybe try and connect on some of those.
Yeah, right, but so step on down. Come on up. Step on up, Kalen Bullock, and I'm going to throw you in there with Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter. Make a play.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Eric Murray, too. Hey, man, go ahead and you make a play, too. All y'all. But we got some news when it comes to what's popping. This is a familiar face around these parts. One of those utility type guys, a guy who would do everything for you. He's saying goodbye. It's a man who did this for your Astros.
Gonzalez hits one in the air into left center field. Back at the wall and it's gone. Tie game in the ninth. Marwin Gonzalez.
Yeah, man. Former big leaguer, former Astro. He announced he's retiring through a press release from the Oryx Buffaloes of Nippon Professional Baseball. That is Japanese baseball. Mm-hmm. So he obviously was finishing it out there. He played with the club for the past 2 years. And so he officially let it know that he's done with baseball now.
There's been a lot of them, but I would argue that's the biggest home run in Astros history right there. You're at Dodger Stadium. You're down 1-0 in the World Series. you've never won a World Series game. And that leads to an incredible game, game two. And you win it. Marwin, that might be the biggest home run in Astros history right there.
Yeah. 23rd pick in the Rule 5 draft. They got him in 2011. And he ultimately, I don't know that he didn't play every position on the field for you. And he came up big in a lot of moments, in fact, including that one. So salute to Marwin Gonzalez on a successful career, 35 years of age, mm-hmm. and saying goodbye to the sport that helped him do a lot of incredible things, took him to a lot of places, and I think ultimately you could say is a successful career, right?
Big time, big time, and an Astros legend. Kind of one of those we were talking about the other day. We had, I think it was a question of the day, you know, someone who, and we didn't even mention him, and we should have.
Yeah.
You know, someone who may not have been great, but was is somebody legendary.
Somebody that don't have to buy a beer in this town doesn't ever have to again. Buy
Marwin, his name's not Marlose, it's Marwin.
That's right. And never forget.
Never have to buy a beer in Houston again.
Yeah.
That's always it. Would you rather be the never have to buy a beer guy, or would you rather just be able to live without, you know, kind of live under the radar in a way?
I don't know. That's a good question. I would say if that's how I became never buy a beer guy, I want to be that.
Like, what's that, the other way you become never have buy a beer
no,
guy?
No, I'm saying like a home run that is arguably like
okay.
That way is probably the best way.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to be like Brian Scalabrine.
Exactly.
Just be a nice guy and just never have to buy a beer again.
Yeah.
And
or Gerald Green.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow, what? Damn.
Well, Gerald Green didn't have a moment. He's just very popular, you know, because he's here.
Just a Houston guy?
Yeah,
Houston guy. Very popular, yeah. Cool, brave.
That just felt, it just felt like a side
swipe. Did it feel dirty?
I don't know.
I didn't mean for it to sound
like,
dirty.
What's the biggest Gerald Green moment in Rockets history?
I was about to be a real jerk and say that time that he got his hair braided up. But nah, Gerald Green did some things. Gerald Green.
Now you're in the mix.
Yeah, exactly. I could have kept myself clean and I just got down in the mud.
Yeah, H-Town legend.
Yes, he is.
Absolutely.
But I would rather have like the shot.
Yeah, Marwin.
That everybody can remember, mm-hmm. or the home run that everybody can remember.
Salute to Marwin in a really good career, particularly with the time he spent with the Astros. Something that maybe didn't make a lot of people feel anything at all was Aaron Judge. Handling his business, continuing to do what I guess has just become Aaron Judge things, doing this.
1-0. Swung on, hit high in the air to left. Back goes Couser. He's on the track, at the wall, and she is gone. Judge hit an unbelievably high drive. We waited, and it came down in the visitor's bullpen. A Judgian blast. All rise. Here comes the Judge.
I love Josh Sterling.
John,
man.
Sterling's the best.
He's the best.
So,
all right.
His home run number 58. He does that in the game in which the Yankees win the AL East. And that is the fifth most home runs by a Yankee in a single season.
Even the way you just said it, and I'm not picking on you. I saw that and I went, man, was it five games in a row he's hit? A home run, four, yeah. Something like that?
I feel like he's being a little overshadowed
by
Shohei.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Because I'm thinking about Shohei, and when I heard 58, I'm like, damn, he got 58.
That's what I said.
I've just been focused on Shohei.
Have we been desensitized to 58 home runs?
I think that we've been desensitized to numbers in general in baseball.
Yeah.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. there was a certain era of baseball fan where you said certain numbers, and they knew exactly what they meant, the significance. I do wonder, are we still in that place? Because I also wonder if, like, the era of steroids in baseball took us to a place where, because people had such issues with, is this legitimate or is it not, it made statistics and those records feel a lot less important.
No, it ruined the record book.
And that took us away from the numbers.
No, it ruined the record book. That's the worst thing that came out of that era, because it used to be like 714, 755, you know, it was like they were standards that every 8-year-old knew those numbers, you know, the records in baseball. Now you can't even name them.
But I also wonder how much of that is just like also the idea of we've moved away from a baseball card culture, man. We're in a more fast-paced lane where...
But you still knew those numbers.
You didn't have a whole afternoon to just be reading the back of baseball cards. Although, like, if you wanted to do that now, everything, mm-hmm. you got the internet and the world at the palm of your hands, memorizing what the number.
We focus more on the nerd numbers, the base percentage and
thanks,
stuff
Adam's
like playing. That. Yeah,
Adam did it.
Adam
put this into play.
Hey, I think that's a little more important than how many home runs in a career somebody got.
Yeah, but I saw that and I did exactly what you said. Figgy, I went, damn, 58? It used to be where 58, you'd be like, it'd be banner headline.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they tried last year with the with the judge's pursuit of 61.
They did last year.
Like they for, and maybe that's some of us as well. Like I think with the shift in media, the ways that it happens, I feel like some of the emphasis on these records. I think we take responsibility of not making those the priority.
And I'm not even talking about Houston because Houston hates the Yankees and Aaron Judge.
No, I mean just in general.
But in general, people just are not really like.
It's just like
recognize like hey, he got 58. Yeah, like cool. I said, like cool Reggie story. Goes, that was his 58th home run. I'm like,
cool story.
Wait, what? That was his 58th home run.
Ho hum.
Yeah. Yeah. Ho hum.
So yeah, salute to Aaron Judge being a masher, reaching 58 home runs. In the season, after he hit 62.
Having a down year, that's why nobody's
talking about it. Bad
tough.
Year.
This is tough. Maybe he can get back
in the slump. Yeah.
Come on, Aaron.
I guess speaking of what's happening also, go ahead and check out the H-Town Hoops podcast. They're back at it as we're headed towards the season. Next week is when training camp opens up there. Man. So, you saying Adam Spillane did it made me think about that because Spo and B-Scott already back on their grind there. So if you're a Hoops guy, folks on that. You did want to get to this as Hurricane Helene hit landfall, and I know that Atlanta especially dealing with a lot of things. Georgia's dealing with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
The Tampa area got hit pretty hard. You kind of wanted to talk about this. I know that I don't think as many sporting events as have been moved. I know that the Mets, Braves, a couple of their games this weekend have already been moved to Monday.
I think a college football game, is it Stanford maybe was going to play down there? But the reason I wanted to bring this, it's not directly sports related, although, you know, those things are happening. Yeah, Stanford had its flight canceled yesterday. That's Stanford. That's 2,600 miles away.
Yeah, well, they're playing Clemson, though.
But Clemson is getting affected.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's one of those things that is sports related. This is why I wanted to get to it, because a lot of times we just, you know, sort of gloss over these things and it's another hurricane and you got to be prepared and all that. But so the Taylor County, Florida Sheriff's Department, if you get this message and you don't leave, I'm not going to say I don't have any sympathy because obviously it's a horrible thing, but you're really dumb. So the Taylor, you're really dumb.
I hate that reaction.
No, you're really dumb. Okay, wait until I tell you what they did. They sent out notices to residents to write their name and driver's license number, if they have one, on their arms in permanent marker. If they decide to stay and ride out the hurricane, write your name and your driver's license number or some other note on your arm in permanent marker, because they're probably going to have to use it to identify you if it gets, you know.
Hurricane's pretty bad in when it hit, but I also am always, especially like because of what happened with Hurricane Katrina, and you know, we've done a lot of, we've had a lot of documentaries and like a lot of reporting done on that. There's some people that just don't have the wherewithal to be able to get out.
I get that.
But
there are some people saying, "Nah, we'll be all right."
Sure. Yeah. there's something within that, but I think there's a lot more people than we care to realize.
No, I totally get that,
and I think the city of Houston understands that very well. There's a lot of people that sometimes we neglect, that we don't understand and don't appreciate.
But if they say we got to identify the bodies, and if you're going to stay, so why don't you do this? That's ridiculous to stay, but some did.
We hope. I truly hope the best for anybody that had to stay, or that
some of the
ultimately decided to stay.
Scary,
crazy apartments that people are having to, you know, boat to get people out of. So yeah, our thoughts and sympathies are with the folks in all those various places. I know Georgia, Florida, in that just general southeast area. Hope they're doing all right as Hurricane Helene kind of unleashes down there. All right, you're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Bobby Slowick talked to media. I kind of want to talk about his tone in general. Does it feel like he is defending himself, or if he's just done with some of these guys on this team? You make the call, and we'll talk about it next.